So I started following this subreddit called Anti-Work, and it's basically all these people who are like, you know, talking about asshole employers or like
nice
leads at jobs or whatever.
Yeah. Just like ragging on their workplaces and stuff.
Yeah, or just like, this is why I quit kind of thing.
Nice. I do enjoy those quite a bit.
All right.
Yeah, somebody just commented, my dog has the same toy and does the same thing with it. Drives me crazy. It's really loud. Okay, cool.
But it's not a donkey.
Yeah.
Donkey. And he's actually legitimately named Donkey from Trek.
Oh, the
donkey in the video? The
thing?
Nice. Yeah, his name is Donkey because he is reminiscent of the donkey from Trek.
I'd have named him Eddie.
We all good?
Dude,
welcome, everyone, to Art Town Podcast. Please take a moment to like and subscribe, share if you can, and review if available. We'd love to hear from you, so comment below and tell us how we're doing. Don't forget to visit arttownpodcast.com for all the links and join the members-only section of the website or sign up on Patreon. Now here are the boys of Art Town Podcast.
Holy schmoly.
The amount of energy she had at the end of that clip.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of love.
No, it is. Yeah. It just melts my heart.
The $5 that I gave her.
Right? Yes. Oh, you gave her $5? No. I would have just given her a bag of candy. And
no, I think candy. It was a bag of Takis or something.
Okay.
Welcome, everybody, to another exciting edition of our Town Podcast.
Right?
Oh, there
we go. Coming to you from the I Am Renton space.
Yes, thank you, Jeffrey. Yep.
Downtown Renton. I think I was remiss in the last episode. Didn't mention that you all should go over right now and eat at the Whistle Stop Ale House.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
WhistleStopAleHouse.com.
That's delicious.
And check out IamRenton.com. It's not a lot on the website yet, but I know it's coming.
So, oh, sure.
But check it out. Mark it for future
right.
use. Guys, this is, we could call it episode 67, the last one.
Dear.
But it's kind of 66. B, part two.
I don't know. It'd be 66 and a half, but how about 66.6?
We'll just round it. Oh, jeez, Mike. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, whatever it is, welcome back, everybody. This is a second half elongated, speaking of Ron Jeremy,
hedgehog
episode of the show because we're going to be gone for a couple of weeks, but you all know this.
Charles is going to be gone for a couple weeks. Me and Mike will be at home. Like,
we'll be sitting right here.
We'll be here waiting for him to come back.
I would like Miss Havisham.
where did he go?
Where did Charles come back?
Oh my God.
Charles will come back with an Irish accent and be like,
yeah. Oh, man. I might just stay.
Well, nobody would blame me.
I was thinking about reaching out to
Georgia
and figuring out where she was. And
She's there right now.
Is she still there?
Yeah, yep.
Oh, maybe I'll email her and see where she's.
She got her driver's license. Yeah.
Over there?
Yep.
Sweet. Yeah, I think I'll email her because she's out by Galway, I think.
I honestly knew at one point, but I have forgotten.
Yeah, no problem.
And even then, I mean, she's out in the country, but it's not that big of a place.
Yeah, so it's
if it's within striking
distance from...
She's a hoot. She's a nice lady. And she and her husband are both college educators. They're fun conversationalists. Yeah. Good people. So.
Nice. And they've got donkeys.
Yeah. Yes, as a matter of fact.
And we can start making our own donkey videos.
Oh, my God. Do you see it? Do you see it, everybody? Here's our money.
Can I bring a squeaky chicken?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You should totally get one of those and take it with you.
Yeah. Take it with you. Yeah.
Geez, that's awesome. Man, she's a delightful human.
Yeah. I bet. Yeah. She seemed super nice chatting with her via email. She was very helpful. She's like, let me tell you where to stay here, and you should check this place out. Mm-hmm. Go there and blah blah blah.
Yeah, the world's oldest pub is kind of nearby here.
We're staying in Athlone, which is where Sean's pub is, which is supposed to be the oldest
pub in Ireland.
Maybe something like that.
One of her donkeys name is Tallulah.
Oh, nice. Right on. Boys, every beginning of the month, we do upcoming movies.
Yeah. Right, and, right.
We haven't done that yet, so we might jump into that if you guys want to.
And,
do it.
And I have seen this one. This is one of
the very first one?
Yeah. This is one of those ones I saw. It was one of the Mystery Movie Monday.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Okay. What is Todd talking about? He's talking about Wish.
Wish, yeah.
And I thought that was coming out just on Disney Plus.
I know. I think it's in theaters.
Is it in theaters?
I think it's in theaters. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it might be on Disney Plus, but I thought it was in theaters because I saw it in a theater.
Review? Quick review?
It was great. I mean, it was basically you're in a village where magic is a thing, and when you're born, you get a wish.
Yeah.
And the king of that village, or whatever you want to call it, either way, he takes their wish and stores it, and he has a vault for all these things, and he uses it to power his magic. And, and when you get to a certain age, you get to pull your wish out and you get to use it. If he deems it worthy or something like that, because if he sees that there's any chance of it being used for evil or not good, then
he's a good guy.
I mean, he appears to be at the beginning of the movie, and I don't want to give too much away.
No spoilers alert. Yeah, the title says follows a 17-year-old Asha, an optimist with a sharp wit who cares endlessly about her community.
Yeah.
In a moment of desperation, she makes an impassioned plea to the stars, which is answered by a cosmic force.
Mm. Yeah.
A little ball of boundless energy called Star.
Yeah.
Together, they face the most formidable of foes to save her community and prove that when the will of one courageous human connects with the magic of the stars, wondrous things
happen.
So what happens is she gets that star, and because it comes down and everyone sees it, he also sees it and goes, who did that?
Oh, the king.
Yeah. Who did that? Find out who that is. You know, because in the beginning you think he's a good guy, and spoilers, he's not really a good guy. But
any known actors?
Off the top of my head, I can't remember who was in it.
Is this an animated film?
It is an animated film, yeah. And I think it's, you know what, here, let's look it up real quick.
Yeah, so I guess it came out April 3rd. If you, because we're beyond that now, right?
Yeah.
Even now, as we're recording,
it's
time, dude. Time waits for no one, and it won't wait for me.
And Eclipse is the
Chris Pine.
When is the? Oh, everybody loves Chris Pine.
And
we've got a total eclipse coming up.
Yeah.
And, not of the heart, just
Alan Tudyk is. I think.
No.
He is. It's a pig, I think. Or it's a talking animal either way.
Okay.
Well, and that's Alan. And then
nice.
Cool. Victor Garber's in it. Harvey Gillian. He's like the human from What We Do in the Shadows.
No, that guy's great.
Yeah.
And he was in Better Call Saul a little bit too.
Oh, what part did he play in that?
He was a guy that hired Mike to be his bodyguard. As he was kind of
the guy got his baseball card stolen.
Yeah.
Okay, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
And then Ariana DeBose. DeBose.
Okay.
DeBose.
DeBose.
No. Not ringing any bells.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, really the only people I recognize are. Like the lead male characters, but then there's this guy. I only know him from being in The Flash, Victor Garber.
Oh yeah, he's been around for a long time. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good movie. It's a Disney film. It's
pay to see in the theaters or
what? Yeah, I would go see it. It's a cute movie. It hits you in the feels a couple times, and you know it's a princess kind of thing, you know. She's not really a princess, but, you know, she kind of has that kind of...
that strong teenage...
Yeah, yeah, just don't thing. Fuck with me, because I'm not going to take your shit kind of thing, so, yeah. Nice.
Well, speaking of not taking any shit, Dev Patel's got a new movie coming out, Monkey Man.
Yeah, I think it's his directorial debut.
Is he directing that? Yeah. Okay.
I just saw it for today. It looks like a really cool movie.
Yeah, it looks like a John Wick... but more hand stuff. Yeah, so he plays an anonymous young man who's on a mission to hunt down a group of corrupt leaders responsible for the death of his mother. However, his journey takes a turn and he becomes the savior of a poor and powerless people who are being tormented by the same corrupt leader. So, kind of an old trope movie, but it looks amazing.
Fresh new way.
It
felt like it was John Woo is the director that did all those really great like kung fu movies in the 90s.
He's famously.
It kind of had that kind of vibe when I was watching. It's like, this looks like a Woo film because there's all these like didn't he do like the Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
No, that's Ang Lee. But he did Bulletproof Mind.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I mean, someone with unlimited bullets. He doesn't believe in magazine sizes. He's just like...
he was probably inspired by the A-Team. Come on now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Except people do die.
And Face Off. He did John
Face Off. Oh, he did Face Off. That's right.
He did...
And I finally saw that Nick Cage movie, the massive talent movie, whatever.
How was that?
It was really funny.
Enjoyed it a lot.
There's a scene where they're both on acid and they're like
so good,
and they're running away from perceived bad guys. And he goes, "Oh no!" He's like, "Help me up!" And they climb over this big ass wall, and he gets Nick over the wall, and he's like, "Just leave me behind. No, I'll be okay." And and Nick is on the other side, and he's like trying to collect himself. He's having a breakdown, and then Pascal's character walks around the wall and goes, "Mr. Cage." It's nice. Like there's a wall. There's no wall on this side. We can walk around.
Nice. Monkey Man comes out April 5th.
Right. Is that in theaters?
That's in theaters.
Okay.
I think all of these are in theaters.
Okay.
April 5th as well is The First Omen, which is a prequel to Richard Donner's.
Yeah, I had no idea that was a Richard Donner film. I didn't know that. Yeah. With Gregory Peck.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, man, that is back in the day. Yeah.
Oh, The Omen. Yeah, okay.
Just a very, I mean, talk about a slow burn.
Yeah.
Geez, interesting. I don't know. That's not my thing anymore.
It's not my thing anymore either.
I had no idea that was Richard Donner.
I mean, those are early classic horrors, right? It was a little like Rosemary's Baby and Exorcist. I mean, those are early 70s.
Yeah. Exorcist was rough.
Wasn't Rosemary's Baby basically the same story? It was like a baby who was like the spawn of Satan or some shit?
Yeah, Satan impregnated her. Yeah. She didn't know she was being impregnated, and then all the weird
people, there's a culty thing around them.
But
then Damien kind of comes out of nowhere, though.
But then
right?
The Nobody Omen really is also knew. Like the spawn of Satan, but in a different way, right?
Didn't they adopt him?
Maybe.
I know they did a remake with Julia Stiles about 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah, I remember.
No, I saw that when
I haven't seen any of these versions of The Omen or
I think I saw it when I was way too young to be seeing it.
My favorite, one of my favorite comedian bits, of course, is the Richard Pryor's Exorcist.
Oh, it's the best. Bit.
It's so fucking amazing.
I don't know if I've ever heard or seen
it. What in the fuck is that funky smell? Is the girl crazy? Just fucking dynamite. He's like, there wouldn't have been any movie if there was black people in it. First word the demon utters, hello. Goodbye.
Well, Eddie Murphy did a similar joke. He's like, you know, the Haunted Mansion kind of thing, where he's like, get out. Too bad we can't stay, baby.
Yeah, that's exactly. So good. It's like, not wrong. Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What?
It's a great neighborhood. The schools are wonderful. And best of all, honey, we can afford it. Too bad we can't stay.
Well, didn't he also say, like, this? I've seen this movie, The Black Eyed Eyes, first.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. Coming out on April 12th, and this movie is getting a lot of buzz. Civil War. It stars the husband and wife team of Jesse Plemons and Kirsten Dunst.
Kirsten Dunst married Jesse Plemons?
Yeah, they've been married quite a while. They got a couple kids.
Or Meth Damon.
It's mean, Dunst.
That's what they called him. I'm sorry.
Civil War follows in the dystopian future. It's a team of journalists who travel across the United States during the second American Civil War between the American government, which I guess is like a dictatorship type of government, and the Western forces led by Texas and California. So all the states are sort of divvied up into different factions. There's been tons of video games like this. I looked to see where Washington was, and Washington all the way across to like Minnesota, Idaho, Utah, Wyoming, all that stuff is all part of a faction.
Then California.
And then there's a Florida something.
So this is
all the southern.
Is this like an alternate universe type of thing?
Yeah, or a dystopian future kind of a thing.
Because it sounds, well, I mean, if it's Civil War, is it like the Civil War, or is this like a new Civil War?
Oh, new, like in modern day.
I'm sorry, I kind of disassociated for a second there, so I missed a little bit.
Yeah, it's the second American Civil War.
So this sounds similar to the Men in the High Castle, which was like...
But that was if the Nazis had won.
If the Nazis had won.
That was awful. The first season was great TV.
Oh, right? Second season, not so much. I kind of fell off on second season two.
Yeah, it's just getting interesting towards the end. The first season, and then you're like,
what did you do? Yeah, and this is Alex Garland, right?
Yeah.
And he did Ex Machina. Yeah. I mistakenly said that I thought it was Denis Villeneuve, but it was not. Okay. And it's Alex Garland.
Ex Machina, that's that one where the AI character...
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to give anything away if anyone had not seen it, but it's
definitely been out for a while.
It's a good film. It's a good film.
Basically, she like switched her personality into a human body, right? Is that what happened?
She sort of tricked him into letting her out.
Yeah. No, she just wants her freedom and gets it because she just orchestrates the death of the dictator, I guess, of the god, and just manipulates that guy.
Yeah.
That's the guy who's in the newer Star Wars films. All it was me. I'm the spy. Or me. I'm the.
Donald.
He does a great job. It's just a sad film.
Yeah, he was one of the Weasley brothers.
Yes, Harry Potter. Good call.
He was the eldest Weasley brother.
Right. Yeah. So comes out. People are talking about it because you know. Oh my God, this is kind of the path we're on right now.
Right.
I hope not as well.
But
we gotta quit fantasizing about murdering other men. Because I got bad news for you. We still have the Chinese and the Russians, and
they're salivating right now.
They're orchestrating a lot. Right. This isn't just by happenstance, but even before, you know. Well, I don't know. Both of them, but especially the Soviets. And then the Russians have great intelligence operations and non asymmetrical warfare against us, right? And Western power, right?
Yeah.
So, fuck them.
Yeah.
Fuck Russia. Fuck them. The government.
Right in the go-to.
Yeah, fuck them. Bye-bye.
Also, April 12th, a movie called The Long Game. This is a sports type.
Golf.
Tells the true story of the San Felipe Mustangs, a group of Mexican-American youths in Del Rio, Texas. In the 1950s, the group sets out to play golf at a white country club in town where they have to overcome prejudice and other obstacles, become state champions.
It might
be a feel-good movie. It's not one that I would go to the theaters.
It's a remake of a 1991 movie, apparently.
Oh, this one is?
Never mind. I'm looking at the next one down.
Hmm. Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead?
Yeah.
That Christina Applegate.
Oh, yeah, no, I saw that in theaters.
In theaters.
I did too.
Probably down the street. Back at the Roxy back in the day.
Dishes are done, man.
If you haven't seen it or you're too young, comes out April 12th. It's siblings whose mom, unable to deal with the stress of work and kids and more, leaves for a last-minute retreat, forcing her teenage daughter to stay behind and basically take care of the kids, but she also hires an older lady to come in and babysit while she's gone, and that babysitter dies, but they don't tell mom because they want some freedom from having the babysitter there. The cast is now an African-American family, which is great. I don't recognize any of the actors.
I didn't know they were making a new one.
But Christina Applegate was
yeah, and Coogan was the older brother.
Right. In the old one?
In the original one, huh. Yeah. And he was like the grandson of Jackie Coogan.
Oh, wow.
You know, Uncle Fester.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
So that comes out April 12th. Might be funny. Another one I'll probably wait for Netflix or something. This one I'm sort of looking forward to. April 19th, a new Guy Ritchie movie. It's called The Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare.
Hmm.
Basically, it follows a covert British organization formed at the instigation of Winston Churchill during World War II to conduct espionage and sabotage in Nazi-occupied Europe. It's a motley crew of rogues and mavericks goes on a daring mission against the Nazis using unconventional and ungentlemanly fighting techniques. Stars a couple of our favorites, Henry Cavill, Alan Richardson, and Cary Elwes, and a host of other people. Yeah. So okay. I don't know who Cary Elwes plays, but
he can do whatever.
Of the cast of the new Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead, the only name I recognize is Nicole Richie. Nicole Richie's in it.
Lionel Richie's daughter?
Yeah, I forgot about
that. That's the one, yeah.
Man, she hasn't been around for quite a while.
And I recognize some of these faces, but I don't know them by name.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I totally saw some. Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare kind of feels like Inglorious Bastards, maybe.
Sure.
But it looks like fun. It looks
it's Guy Ritchie.
It'll be, and it's
you know, kinetic,
very British.
Yeah. Do you?
Yeah, Alan. Where's Alan? Rick Rickson. Alan?
I think he's American.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. He's American.
Yeah.
Do you think people are gonna have a meltdown over the reboot of Don't Tell Mom?
I don't think it was a big enough hit.
Oh, because now it's got Black Ball Girl?
Yeah.
Well, somebody will.
Somebody.
Right? Oh,
yeah. Someone who's never seen the original movie, like, oh my God, did they have to do that?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. I mean,
the same guy that runs around calls everybody else a snowflake, right?
Right?
You're a snowflake liberal. Why are they remaking movies?
Yeah. Aren't you the guy that cried because they told you to put a needle in your arm?
The job.
Oh, my God. This one sounded kind of interesting. I know you guys aren't big horror movies, and this will be another one that I'll wait for Netflix or whatever. But Abigail comes out April 19th. Abigail follows a group of kidnappers who capture and must watch over Abigail, who's the daughter of a powerful underworld figure, right? But they're holding her for like a $50 million ransom, but they soon realize it was all a mistake. Uh-oh. Because Abigail is hiding a dark, deadly secret. She's a monster. And she's no ordinary girl. She's a monster. The only person I recognized was Giancarlo Esposito.
Is this the one where the girl's a vampire?
Is she a vampire?
Some type of monster.
Some kind of monster.
Yeah, I think she's
got like sharp teeth.
Yeah. I think she's a vampire from a trailer I saw. I heard someone
don't work then.
Whatever it is, she's going to do some damage. Mm. So, I mean, it sounds like a good, bloody good time.
But. Yeah, geez, that's a take on it.
Yeah.
What's the one? It's a vampire tale. Like, let the right one in.
Let me in.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
Both of those are movies. Let the right one in.
It's about a young man, or a boy, really, who befriends a kid.
That's a vampire.
They're both preteens, and she turns out to be a vampire.
Yeah, and she's actually very old.
Yeah.
So it's a weird take on that.
There's a weird movie I saw recently, and I think it's called Eater.
Hmm.
And it might be, was it British? But it was basically these people, once they become a teenager, they have to feed on humans.
Hmm.
And of course they have to run away from, that's not the one I'm thinking of. They have to hide in the shadows and live sort of a transient life because they can't stay in one place.
Because
they're eating people, right? But weird movie, but it was actually pretty good.
Hmm.
Well acted, bunch of young people, but kind of reminds me of that. Here's another sports movie just in time for Todd.
Hard Miles,
April 19th as well. A beleaguered coach who rallies a group of disgruntled age inmates for a 1,000-mile bicycle ride from Denver to the Grand Canyon, during which they must face different obstacles and not just on the road. Todd's old Facebook friend, Sean Astin, is in the cast. I don't know what he plays.
I imagine he's the coach.
He's probably going to be the coach.
I don't know. Does he look like
a kid? He looks like a juvenile inmate.
Hey, when I was your age, I was Rudy.
Yeah. And I carried friggin' Frodo in his ring all the way to Mordor.
He's crying about riding a bicycle.
And when I was a kid, we found one-eyed Willie's treasure.
Andy was Bob the Brain. That guy.
Just great. I don't know. I mean,
that's nice. And I don't know. I mean, riding a bike beats being in cars right
now. That's true.
He actually had a really funny
day every day.
He had a funny character in 50 First Dates as well. He was like this guy who was obsessed with being a buff dude.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so funny.
He had the weird mesh muscle shirt on.
Right. And when he was taking some kind of steroids. Oh my god, that was so funny.
Oh, what a sweet guy.
And he had a lisp. Didn't he talk about a lisp? You guys, this one is sort of bizarre. Jesse Eisenberg stars in this. It's called Sasquatch Sunset. Have you seen any of the...
I did just a tiny clip of it, and I was just like, I thought it was like... who does the funny ads? Like Geico?
Like the caveman?
Yeah, stuff like
so
that.
So easy a caveman can do? So, it's not that at all.
So is it animated?
No. It is full makeup.
It might be a lot of green screen stuff or something, but I don't know that.
So we're going to get a movie about a Sasquatch family, but it's live action and it's
kids, and it looks like they got a grandpa. None of them did any talking. It was all sort of grunts and
so is it subtitled? Maybe it's like,
I don't know.
This is 90 minutes. Who in the fuck is going to see this
it
film?
Chronicles a year in the life of a Sasquatch family, capturing their daily life in detail as they do their best to adapt to the ever-changing world around them, offering a unique cinematic experience.
I mean, we all saw the movie Caveman in the 80s, right?
I got two words for you. Barbara Buck.
There was maybe one line of English dialogue in that entire movie.
Caca. Shit. Oh, my God.
Yeah. And the only thing they did show, there was actually a sex scene in the previews where the rest of the family was sort of watching these two go at it in a field. And the rest of the family is just like
the Sasquatches?
The whole Sasquatch family.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, what the hell am I watching?
What is happening here?
What am I watching? So I don't know.
And who is like, here's $60 million to make this movie. Here you go.
The guy that just won the $1 billion Powerball, right?
Yeah.
What do I want to invest in? You know what I'd really
you
like
know
to
what?
See?
I've always wanted to see a realistic Sasquatch film.
All right, Bob. Hold on.
Oh, man. No, I'm good.
It's got like awards from Sundance?
Well. You got the hawk sound.
Deep in the untouched wilderness.
They're befriending animals and stuff.
I assume this is like a non-human world. We'll find out. Maybe they do come up against humans too. They just eat humans. Cooking. They end up just being these carnivorous,
ripping arms off.
Oh my gosh, madness!
Oh, that's the in the meadow, getting busy.
Sasquatch Sunset. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what these actually look like if Chaka from Land of the Lost
was tall.
Yeah, had a beard.
Adult Chaka. Oh my god. Bonkers. Is the Kong, the new Kong Godzilla movie, is that out?
Oh, not yet, I don't think.
No.
Oh, all right.
Finally, boys, April 26, a movie called Challengers, and this one's getting a lot of attention because it's got Zendaya.
Zendaya.
A romantic sports movie. It's the story of Tashi, who's Zendaya, a tennis player turned coach who turned her husband from a mediocre player into a famous Grand Slam champion. I'm not a big tennis guy, so. But it looks like there's a love triangle maybe ensues because the advertisements all show her.
I thought so too.
On a bed the with the two for, guys yeah. on
either
side.
I thought that was before Dune or something. There was that trailer.
And she was in she's in Dune as well, isn't she?
No, that lady's all over the place.
Oh yeah. My God. So I mean, it's another sports movie, but the way they're sort of promoting it, I'm feeling like it's
get some tension in it.
Playing their euphoria. Yeah. Plus, she's in that show Euphoria.
Terribly
right?
young to me.
Yeah.
And I don't know how old she actually is, but she looks she's a really young person.
She's in her early to mid 20s, I think.
That would be my guess, right?
Isn't she like
not say that that's not terribly young.
IRLs, isn't she with Tom Holland?
Or as far as I know.
Yeah, last I heard anyway, they were together, you know, during the premiere of the last Spider-Man movie, they were both there together.
And the Dune movie, I think. Yeah, because when she was wearing that C-3PO dress.
Oh, that's right. She was using that. Yeah, yeah.
Nice. And that was something else, that outfit she had on.
Yeah, that was totally cool.
It's like, wow.
Because fashion's cool.
Yeah. Fashion really
I wonder if Tom had to use a can opener to get in.
I don't know. I'm sure there was a...
For those gowns, I bet they have somebody dressing here, right? And that's a fancy...
The reason why I say that is because Anthony Daniels said that he had to get screwed into that thing. It was held together by little screws.
See, I could not do that role.
In the summer sun. And where were they?
Tanzania.
Tanzania. Like... Yeah, him and Kenny Baker's all, what the...
During COVID, a friend of the show and my son Bailey, who was in the National Guard, he had to go set up COVID testing facilities across the state. He got called up and he had to go for a couple of weeks and do all this setup and stuff. But because he was part of the biological weapons crew or unit at that point, he had to learn how to get into his full body chemical weapon thing. And he's claustrophobic like I am. And I'm like, how's it feel? He's like, dude, it takes you 10 minutes to climb into this thing and get all zipped up. And then once you're in there, it takes like 10 minutes and you need assistance to get it off and all that. I'm like,
But if it's that or like death in a terrible way, right? I'm wearing the suit. What's the one with the Dustin Hoffman with the monkey outbreak?
The Seth MacFarlane Star Trek series, what was that called?
Orville.
The Orville. So there's a character that was in that show. It was done by the actor Ralph Garman, and he talked about doing that part because he had to put on a full head prosthetic, and it took them extra long time because after they started putting it on, he had like a complete like panic attack.
Wow!
Because they were like they had to put the stuff on him to like make the molds to make the prosthetics and stuff. So he completely kind of like had a meltdown and says. He goes, can I just do the voiceover and let somebody else do that?
Nick, can you just green screen me in?
I think that's exactly what they end up doing because I don't think he put the makeup on because it freaked him out so much. So they got somebody else to do the... put the makeup on and they just they did his voice. He did the voiceover for it.
I don't think I could do it. I don't even like I've been to like corporate functions where they have those giant sumo suits, the blow up suits, and you run and charge each other and bounce. I don't think I could climb in one of those.
I could do that. It's when you have to put something over your head and there's like. You have like two tiny air holes in the mask that like are supposed to feed you air. That's when I have a problem.
Deep sea diving or something. Walking on the bottom. It's 30 minutes back up right?
Now that I've been using a CPAP machine for the past 4.5 years, having a mask over your face for air isn't a big deal. It's the putting everything over your head and not having air supplies freaks me out.
No, I'm with you, but being in that, like an astronaut suit, you're in the, and just,
yeah, it would be a trip. Just pretend you're Vader.
Or putting on the Clooney Batman suit that has like that doesn't have any flaps for bathroom access.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Imagine getting all the way in and it's like, oh, fuck.
And it's rubber, so you have to, like, grease yourself up with, like, lube to get it on. And then you finally get it on, and then you're like, hey, I have to pee. No.
Yeah.
Hold it.
We're just going to film this one scene.
Yeah. You know,
hang in there.
Or even better, they said, yeah, just go.
Yeah, for
just,
sure.
Just go. It will just drizzle out by your feet.
Man. You boys want to give out some advice?
Whoa.
What? And this wasn't really, I read this after I dropped it in here, and I don't know if it's like super advice, but he's got a couple of questions at the end, so, or she does, I don't know if it's a guy or girl. So pissed, I want to rant. My girlfriend and I broke up after about 2 years of dating and living together. I'm fine with that. Wish her the best and everything. Only thing we fought over was the cat we got together. She fought tooth and nail to keep the cat, even though I picked it out, paid the adoption fee, and mostly took care of it. She named the cat. She cried, argued, screamed to keep it. Fine. I love the cat, but not worth the absolute shit show. And for my sanity, I let her keep it. 3 months later, I'm settled into a new lease that doesn't allow pets, and she is moving and doesn't want the cat anymore.
Oh, man.
Telling me I need to come and get, quote, my cat.
Oh, no.
I mean, what the fuck, right? Should I throw flaming dog poop bags on her porch?
Yes.
After you rescue the cat, yes.
Yeah.
But you got to get the cat first.
I mean...
Well, he's got to find some place to put that cat.
Yeah.
Or just get it carry away a grudge forever. Get away
right.
from her.
Yeah.
I mean...
But yeah, that's terrible of her. Shame on her.
Shame. On her. Yeah. And it sounds like...
I don't know if she's just being
this
petty.
Person's girlfriend.
Yeah, it sounds like she's
petty
being,
when she kept the cat.
Yeah, she sounds like she's being petty because, yeah, she just... I'm going to stick it to him by taking the cat.
Kinda. Yeah.
If she stayed in the house at the cat... If she had moved somewhere, you know, for a little while,
right, down right, somewhere. Right, right.
But
right.
I kind of get that. Instead of moving the cat from the house it grew up in or whatever, that's the only thing I can see.
Oh, yeah, I think she did. Because it says 3 months later, I'm settled into a new lease that doesn't allow pets, and she is moving and doesn't want the cat anymore.
That must be on her part. Shame on her.
Yeah.
And yes, after you rescue that cat, at least make sure she doesn't get her damage deposit back.
Yeah.
Something where that's, you know, do something.
Yeah.
Poop is always, poop speaks volumes.
What you can do is you can just dump the cat box in the house.
In the house.
On her bed.
Just accidentally. Right. Yeah. Oh, I mean, I just accidentally dumped this thing all over your shit.
I was moving it, and I had to go across your bed to get to where I needed to dump it, and it slipped out of my hand.
It was an accident. Yeah. Accidents happen.
Slipped out of my hand.
But that's after you rescue this cat and find something wholesome to do with this living, conscious being.
Yeah.
Right?
Or, I mean, if you really love the cat, I don't know what it costs to break the lease, and I know that's a pain in the ass and all that stuff, but you can always go to your landlord and explain the situation, and I don't know if it's an indoor cat, if it's well trained, if it's well behaved, then all the better. Yeah.
Or just not tell anyone you have a cat.
Yeah.
Just try to get away with it as long as you can. And start looking for a new apartment the minute you do that.
I mean,
I mean, that's a
hold
thing.
Hold on to the cat. Don't get rid of it.
Cat?
Just don't. I mean, if it's a good cat and it doesn't make a mess, no one will ever know.
Yeah.
And, you know, provided you don't live on the top floor of an apartment or condo where people can hear the cat, you know, scratching at a post or whatever.
Maybe, but just play music all day, right? It's like, I don't know, if you want to pull that angle, I think that's probably easier because that gives you time as opposed to just telling your landlord right off.
Yeah.
I would try it, though. You should at least, you know, say, how strict is this pet policy?
I know.
That something is coming up to where you could say, my cousin's got a cat that has to go somewhere. Or whatever.
Well, you can even tell them. I mean, you might get a sympathetic ear that says, you know.
You know what? Honestly, if you tell them, look, this was my cat when me and my girlfriend were still together and we broke up and she took the cat. And now I have to take the cat, you know, can I just pay extra for the cat? You know?
And there are pet fostering organizations out there, so you could find somebody to wait out your lease.
Yep.
You might just have to buy food, and then they might allow you to go over and be with your cat on a daily or week or whatever you can manage. Because I remember looking into these when, again, Bailey thought he was going to be deployed to Syria and his dog, and we couldn't take the dog because it was wouldn't get along with ours. So we were like, and there was a ton of organizations out there, mostly for veterans and stuff, but that would foster the dog for the year of the deployment. And then if it was close enough, I was going to be able to go over and hang out with him, you know, once a week or a couple times a week and take him for a walk and all that stuff, take pictures and send them to him. But fortunately, he didn't have to get deployed, so...
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's options for you, dude or gal. I don't know. Look into the fostering. Talk to your landlord. You can break the lease and just pay the fee, whatever the lease breaking fee is. Maybe a family member or something can take it for the next. You've been 3 months in a new lease. You got, what, 9 months left to go?
Maybe, if it's a year. Yeah.
You could do what Todd suggested, just, you know.
Go under the radar.
Go under the radar as long as you can.
Yeah, I mean, you are right and righteous in being really disappointed.
Oh, because I would never talk to this person.
It's over. This person gets no contact as far as I'm concerned. And you get to talk all kinds of shit about them, you know, to other people if you want, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I mean, seriously, though. And I know a lot of people worry about, like, you know, getting in trouble for having animals in on properties that don't allow animals. I've known a handful of people who had cats in a lease that didn't allow for any animals. Yeah. And the only reason why they got away with it for as long as they did, and they moved before they ever found out that person had a cat, is the cat was a good cat. It didn't make a mess. It wasn't loud. And it provided the animal is quiet and doesn't make a mess, you should be able to have your animal in your place.
And I guess it depends on if he's living in the same house as the landlord or some weird thing.
Yeah, we're thinking of a big apartment complex.
I'm thinking of an apartment complex or like you're renting a duplex where it's just you and the person next door is somebody else who's renting. So as long as the landlord doesn't come by on a regular basis, you're going to be fine. You know,
don't cause any problems and make any messes.
Just as long as
take care of the property, be a good tenant.
Make it an indoor cat from that point on.
And most cats are relatively quiet and only make noise when, you know, they're not happy. So you make the cat happy and you'll have a quiet animal. So
like when Mike's not home.
Oh, yeah. No, and my Mr. Cat, well, in the middle of that, does its, Mike, you know, soliloquies where he's like, wah, 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 wah.
The music of his people. My cat.
But whether or not my neighbors can hear that, well, A, don't care. B, it's a condo, and I'm buying that fucking thing, so it doesn't really matter. I'm within the rules, because you can't have two cats, so up to two pets.
And at one point, I did live in a place where my cat was not allowed, and the only reason why I ended up having to give him up to somebody else's because he was being loud and he was making all kinds of noise because he wanted to go out, and we wouldn't let him go out because the yard didn't have a fence and it was on a main street and there's no fucking way I'm letting you outside to get hit by a car. But he would do the song of his people. And there were a few times like, God damn it, shut up! And I'd throw like a shoe or something at him, and he would bolt, and he would like and go, fuck off, Todd. But no, for the most part though, that was the only time he was ever allowed, because he wanted to go out and he had been used to going outside. After that, he kind of learned that, you know, you're not going outside as often as you want, so let's not be loud about it. But he was a talker. He would argue with me. I say no, and he would say, so.
Nice. Yeah, our dogs like to bark a lot at nothing, and I make up stuff. It's like, oh, it's the invisible werewolves from outer space.
Mm-hmm. Dad, they're dead. There's a leaf outside. I saw a leaf outside. There's a leaf. Did you see the leaf?
Invisible alien vampire.
Maybe.
I heard something in the backyard, and it was a noise. And I should tell you that there's a noise in the backyard.
The funniest thing is, like, especially on, like, Saturday, Sunday mornings, the dogs want to go out, and we got the big boy is the biggest princess of them all, and he doesn't want to use the dog door to go around the side. He wants me to get my ass out of bed, walk downstairs, open up the slider so he can mosey out to the backyard. But the big girl dog likes to grab a squeaky toy, and she'll run around at 7 a.m. in the backyard.
Squeak, 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 squeak. Squeak, 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 squeak.
And I'm like, okay, you better give me that after like a minute, because it's like, okay, now the neighbors are
here. Yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
7 o'clock on a Saturday morning,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like, reel it in, kid.
Yeah. So I think if I was ever going to get an animal, it would definitely be a very much an indoor cat that doesn't want to go out and won't be at the door yelling at me from the inside of the house, open the door, I want to go outside. Then you open the door. This is not the out that I wanted.
Yeah.
This is wet. I want dry. So, yeah.
What's that old joke? There's dogs, because we feed them, we pick up after them, we do everything for them, we groom them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we must be gods.
We must be gods, but cats, we do the same stuff, and we're the gods.
Well, cats don't have owners. They have staff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And they know it.
Yeah, that's great. But and for, kind of a non sequitur, but there are millions, and I mean this, millions of older animals waiting for you to go adopt them from shelters.
Yeah,
the old ones are mellow.
Yeah.
Right?
It's usually, like, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a statistical, So.
And what a lot of people don't realize with cats, they pick you. You don't get to pick them. And if you do, that's the cat that's not going to like you. And that's the one who will, like, push stuff off the countertop.
Cats are cats.
Seriously, though. Cats, if you don't let the cat pick you, you're probably going to get one who's, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Is
rebellious?
No, but, like, has, like, an anger towards you, or is, you know,
resentment.
That's the word I'm looking for. They have resentments towards you being their owner. Like, you know what? Fuck this guy. He thinks he's the boss, kind of thing.
I don't throw shoes at my cats, Todd.
But it was Mike. It was 3 in the morning, and he was rah!
I'm shocked, Todd. I can't even look at you.
It was 3 in the morning, and I was trying to sleep.
You guys hear that Dana Gould, when he's spending the night at his girlfriend's house, coming home from college, and the cat is in heat. And it's like, he's the only male with pheromones, so the cat's like messing with him all night, just rubbing up against him all night.
Oh, man. No, I never had a girl cat.
Yeah.
I do like Dana
Gould. I actually saw him live once at the Neptune. It was really funny.
Nice.
His Dr. Z shtick is brilliant.
It's great,
I'm just mad I didn't think of that.
I know,
first.
Right?
Oh, it's brilliant.
God damn it. How much is a Dr. Z costume?
I don't know.
Dr. Zaya's costume.
Yeah.
Do you think he got like permission from the copyright owner of
Beats me, because he says Dr. Z. I don't know if he goes
but I mean that's gotta be copyrighted. The whole thing. But.
Yeah, geez, I don't. And who's his band leader guy?
You know, he's funny.
I haven't seen an entire clip. I don't think I've seen like one or two words, and then
he's got a hotball guy that he pals around with. Yeah,
they're only like 5 minute interviews. Or something.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Anyway, no, you're totally righteous to be pissed.
Totally righteous to be pissed. I mean, don't do anything illegal that you're going to get in trouble
for.
Figure out a way to get your cat, because it's worth it.
And
take care of it.
You'll be really sad and really angry if you don't.
Yeah.
So it'll prevent.
And for the record, that was I just woke up throwing the shoe. That's not something I would have done normally. So he woke me up with the yowling.
How dare you? Before we get to sharing is caring, Todd, did you have another top five?
Yeah, top five sitcoms.
Oh, sitcoms.
Television sitcoms.
Nice.
Like all time?
All time, just whatever.
Doesn't have to. You know what? They don't have to be in order of any kind. Just five sitcoms that you like, right, that you can easily rewatch and not have any problems with.
Okay. Some of them I haven't seen in years, so I'm going to go off of nostalgia, right?
Okay, that works. That's what most of mine are, nostalgic.
Yeah.
from childhood.
Mike, why don't you start us off?
Oh, jeez. Top five sitcoms.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. Here's an easy one, like Cheers or something.
Oh, shit. Right? That was going to be
giant ensemble
five.
Cast.
Yeah.
All pretty good talent, right?
Yeah.
Memorable scenes, memorable characters.
Yeah.
I mean, geez.
I learned a lot about adulthood because that, of course, came on when we were young.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned a lot about watching these adults interact in semi-adult situations. Just picked up on nuances and the comedy of it and how they interact and stuff like that. But yeah, that was a show that my mom and I watched together. Mm-hmm. All that Thursday night
lineup. Yeah, NBC that, stuff. That was huge.
Huge. Yeah. I don't think Thursday that show night. Was played in my house because I grew up in a 12-step house. So it wasn't going to be a show about a bar.
Yeah. Although Sam was a recovering alcoholic.
He was, yeah.
I always thought that was weird that a guy who was in recovery was would own a bar. And that, to me, was always weird.
And they kind of played it on the show. They talked about it a few times and came up and just said, you know.
I don't think that, honestly, I don't think that would be a thing in real life. I don't think anybody.
I'm sure it happens all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. At least the people I knew in 12-step programs, I don't think any of them had any desire to be anywhere near a bar, let alone own one.
I've gone to bars with people in alcohol recovery, and they've been able to just chill and do the stuff and drink seltzer water.
I know people who can go into bars, they just choose not to.
Yeah.
Unless there's like something else happening there, if it's live music or comedy, that'd be the only reason why they would go there. You know, they have no other reason to go to a bar otherwise.
No, it's not my go-to, really. I go to bars because they have shows. If they didn't have shows, I wouldn't bother.
Yeah, probably. I'm not one to go sit at a bar stool and just drink.
I will tell you this, Charles. If you need to go to an AA meeting in Ireland while you're there, they have them in the back of bars.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, the day's young.
It was funny because this is a thing that I learned from when my mom went to go over there with her mom, my grandmother, and grandma was going back to visit home and family and whatnot. And my mom comes back, she's like, you know, I went to find a meeting while we were over there in Ireland, and the only ones that came up on this, you know, the local list of meetings were in the back of bars, and I'm just like, no, I can't do that. I don't want to be anywhere near alcohol.
I'm with you, dude. Pubs are kind of the meeting points for a lot of people.
And the thing is, it's not just a bar, it's also a restaurant usually.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not a adults only kind of place. That's another thing that I remember hearing growing up as a kid, that if in Ireland, I don't know if it's still the same back then, back in the 70s and 80s, but if you were tall enough to reach the bar, you were old enough to drink.
Oh. Hmm. All right. We've been kind of joking with the kids.
Yeah, I bet that's not the case anymore. Right? I'd be really surprised.
Yeah, I think we looked it up, and I think it's 18 maybe for beer and 21 for
spirit.
Or 22 for spirit. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, but it used to be that if you walked into a bar and you had the money for it, and if you could reach the bar, you could order a drink.
Nice. That's what we were joking about. It's like, oh no, you can't drink there, honey, but the driving age is 13, so if you want to drive. And she's like, really? I can drive? What? And it's like, no, we're just kidding.
I mean, honestly, I saw a video of Marianne driving a car in Ireland, and she was freaked out because the roads are really narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And people are going both directions on a narrow road.
Nice.
So, she's like, I drove the car once, and then I let my mom drive the rest of the time we were there.
Nice, yeah. I mean, I grew up in Seattle, and the street, you know, the residential streets are pretty narrow, and there's cars on either side, so there's always been the, you know, one person has to dive into where there's no car, and then keep going.
Think of those narrow roads with no shoulders, no crosswalks, or none of that shit, and it's just a deep ditch on either side.
Yeah.
So I mean, you have to be very careful.
Yeah. Right,
you
on.
You guys get a car, right?
Yeah. We're renting like a equivalent of like a minivan type thing for the first part, and then when the kids go back to Dublin to fly out, the three of us stay behind for a few days. We're getting like a like a Jetta or something, like a Volkswagen.
I think they also drive on the other side of the road as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. And then steering wheel on the
right-hand drive.
Right-hand drive, yeah. Looking forward to it.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be different.
It'll be.
I guess my number five would just be the same as Mike's. I think Cheers was
Okay.
My number five.
I was trying to think of old stuff, some things from the 80s, and the first one that came to mind was Alf.
Oh, nice.
Oh, geez.
And they're, Ryan Reynolds' broadcast company is doing a reboot of that.
Oh, with full puppet and everything?
Puppet with the original actor and everything. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alf was one show I didn't watch a lot.
Oh, I love
it. I don't remember when it was even.
No.
All the pussy jokes in that show were hilarious.
The kitty cat.
Every time, because he in his world, cats are food.
Right.
So there was always a innuendo of some sort in that show for cats.
Nice. Went over all the kids' head, you hope, but...
Yeah. I mean, I remember my mom and other people gasping and other people giggling because whatever was said was funny. My mom was like, oh my God, I can't believe they said this on a show for kids.
Nice.
And my brothers were like, that was funny.
Shoot. Mike... Number
a taxi.
Four. A taxi. Oh,
brilliant.
Oh, yeah. And Andy Kaufman, man.
Cast,
oh,
man.
Yeah, Danny DeVito. Everybody's
Mary
doing
Lou
a great
Henner.
Job. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody
right?
does a great job.
He's still around, well, too, I think.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd.
Christopher
Fuck
Lloyd.
Yeah, dude.
What a great character.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Still one of the funniest bits is when when Lloyd's character is in, like, traffic safety class and... Kanicki, whatever his name was on the show, he's like, "What's number two?" He's like, and he says, and our Lloyd's character is like, "What is number two?" He's like, "Slower." What is number two?
Man.
Slow down.
Yeah, like, what does a yellow light mean or something?
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah, good shot.
My favorite episode was when he was making cookies, Christopher Lloyd's character.
Oh, yeah.
And he was making cookies, and everybody was like, oh, these are the greatest cookies, and they're eating them up.
They're pot cookies?
They were cocaine cookies, and they were all getting wired off of them, and like, these are the greatest cookies of all time. And he's making them, and he's like, what is that?
Oh, he's putting cocaine into the flour?
Putting cocaine into the flour.
Sugar or something.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God.
Nice. Okay, well, my number, it was your four?
That was five.
That was four. Five was Cheers.
Yeah, okay. Cheers. My number four, I think I'm going to go same Thursday night, I'm going to go Family Ties.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I was trying to remember the name of. And
My man crush on Alex P. Keaton.
No, right. I got that one and the other one mixed up. There's this.
Oh.
But yes, I mean, that one had Justine Bateman.
Justine Bateman. Yeah, are you thinking of Jason Bateman's The Hogans or something?
I can't remember.
No, I think he's thinking of the Cameron.
Oh, Cameron. Growing Pains.
Yeah.
Growing Pains.
Yeah.
Ah, right on, Michael B. Keaton.
Yeah, I loved the family. I wanted to be a part of that family. The mom and the dad were sort of
the hippie parents.
Liberal hippie parents. And then Alex B. Keaton
was the young Republican.
Young Republican was just a great dichotomy.
Yeah, the dad was in Tremors, too, right?
He's Burt Gummer. Burt Gummer would have liked Alex P. Keaton for sure.
Probably. Well, Alex P. Keaton probably felt more like a Nixon,
Eisenhower
Republican.
Yeah. Just the early stages of the Reaganism or whatever.
Do you think that show could get a reboot and have like the family be like uber liberal and then like the one son is like the MAGA?
I don't know.
That could be very funny if it's done right.
Done right, yeah. There was a magic. What's his name? Who played Alex P. Keaton?
That was Michael J. Fox.
He has a magic to him. The timing and everything that he had was just great. So, I don't know.
And he makes a great cappuccino, apparently.
Huh?
No, never mind.
Oh.
It was a dumb joke.
Oh.
And he makes a great cappuccino.
Oh, jeez. Todd, what about you? What would a number four look like for you?
The original Roseanne back in... You know, the first few seasons were really good, I thought.
Yeah. Great blue collar.
Yeah.
Laughing at their lot in life, right? Just couldn't get ahead, working those low-paying blue-collar jobs, and just dealing with life.
They weren't trying to put in little political jabs at other people back then.
Because I guess that's not true. Because I was going to say, like, Archie Bunker was kind of a blue collar.
Yeah. There's a few shows that were blue collar.
But most of them are like, it was sort of the anti Cosby show, right? You had this affluent lawyer, doctor, lots of kids that are all going off to college. Everybody's, you know, they get this big, brownstone in New York, as opposed to the other family that's like going to work at the restaurant as a waiter and hanging dry. Wall and stuff like that. So a little more real, down to earth. Mike, what about you? What would a number three? Well, this is
closer to my favorite of all time, but the Dick Van Dyke Show.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it's so good. Oh, yeah, the supporting characters are just great. They work in the writing
and the ad agency.
Oh, so good.
Wasn't that
Murray Amsterdam and oh, it's so good.
What was Meathead? His dad was the guy who created that show, I think.
Oh, Rob Reiner?
Rob Reiner, yeah. His dad. Carl Reiner.
Carl Reiner, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
right. Carl Reiner, I think.
Yeah, it's a great show.
Yeah. My number three, we're on three, right?
Yeah.
Is going to be, no matter how you slice it, but the Bob Newhart Show.
Oh,
so either the original one with Suzanne Plachet
or the New Hampshire one.
New Hampshire, Vermont one.
Oh, my God.
And they do come full circle, right? Because they are the same show.
Yeah, they are the same show.
My name is Larry. This is my brother Daryl, my other brother Daryl.
So exactly. Good.
So silly.
And Tom Poston
But just the cast of characters when he was the therapist.
In the 70s. So good.
Oh, man.
You know what? I'm gonna change my number three because I had Full House, but I'm gonna change it to Happy Days and all the spinoffs because Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley and Mark and Mindy.
Yeah, that was Gary Marshall stuff. Right?
And Joni Lovechachi.
I didn't like Joni
Lovechachi. I don't know if that was a Gary Marshall, was it?
I don't know, but it was a spinoff.
It was a spinoff, but I didn't like it. It was not long enough for me to even watch. I mean, it had a total of 10 episodes, I think.
I can't help but notice none of us had wings.
Everybody forgets
about Wayne.
It was on for like 8 million years.
That was Tony Shalhoub's start, right?
Yeah.
They just had, it was just on repeat all the time.
And Hayden Church, when was that guy?
That's right, Yeah,
who played Sandman.
Both of those guys. The guy who, one of the main actors is actually also is one of the voices of Superman in the Justice League.
Oh, nice. Is he the older brother that owns the airline? So he showed up just out of the blue on a couple episodes of The Sopranos. And I was like, that's a dude from Wings. It was my first, I can't remember his name.
The younger brother had a story arc on the iZombie TV show, which is great, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, they're both recognizable actors. They just haven't done. But yeah, I don't Wings think they is need nuts, to. Man.
They're just sitting down because USA Network are
making all that Wings money.
Over and over and over. It's not ever not on the air.
I can't wait till we get Hot Rodders into syndication.
Yeah,
we can just live off the key. Of the residual.
We should see about getting it on the Roku channel because apparently you can get your, if you have a good production of a video series of any kind, you can have it put on there.
Be video. I mean, we'll have a few pictures maybe pop up.
Maybe we can get someone to animate it.
Oh, Jesus. Whoa. Yeah, I'm in, but I don't know what the cost that would be.
We jumped straight into AI.
You know, like, Mike, that's not a bad idea. I mean, it's not a bad idea, in the short term, but in the long term, it's probably not a great idea. But, I think the Gary Marshall sitcoms were all
great. It's
all
a great universe.
It's a great universe.
Yeah,
really.
In fact, I think all the shows we mentioned are all on Tubi. Is it Tubi or is it on Pluto? I think it's Pluto has Laverne and Shirley and it has Mark and Mindy and it has, all those is like channels you can, that stream episodes.
Nice.
So it's not like VOD. It's just that you put it on and it plays.
And it plays on. Yeah. Yeah. Mike, what would you? Oh. What was your number two?
Number two dose. Not really a sitcom per se, but what about Benny Hill?
Oh my
Benny
God!
Hill show.
It's a variety.
It's a variety,
it's a variety show.
Show
yeah.
But it was
right?
great. Right?
Oh
yeah,
my
yeah.
God! Just ridiculous.
You just wait to see boobies.
Yes.
You're like
yes.
staying up late so I can see boobies.
With sexy posse.
Yeah, just so corny and just dumb and slapstick and no. Oh,
which is funny is like. Family Guy references that all
oh,
the time.
Why
with Stewie.
Wouldn't he? Yes, because yeah. it had a huge impact on yeah, her. Yeah, just yeah. waiting for boobies.
Boobies!
Yeah. Boobies! So good.
All right.
So
well,
dumb.
I'm going to go my number two. I was going to do what I think is Todd's number one. So I'm going to wait and do the same number one as Todd.
Okay.
Just because I know him so well.
Okay. We'll see how this works out
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, yeah. So, but if it's not, it'll be my number one. So I guess for my number two, let's go. What did I like back in?
I know, Jim.
Geez, there's a lot. I would have said Mork and Mindy, but that's yeah. taken.
I mean, you can still say it. I mean,
yeah, no.
that doesn't mean it's any less of a show or any more
no,
of a
no.
show.
No, no. That was my introduction to Robin.
Same here. So and you can, like, and you can watch man. All of Mork and Mindy on Pluto TV.
Jonathan Winters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Seasons and all that.
Bless him.
Oh, my gosh.
He can't still be around, right?
No, he's no. passed away like yeah. 10, 20 years ago.
Sure.
I'm going to go this, even though it's sort of, I mean, it's no more passe than Benny Hill, but I loved this show as a kid because I watched it constantly in syndication, but Three's Company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, knock on my door.
Yeah. yeah. Troublesome right. now just because of some of the stuff.
Well,
know,
just
because
it's all Mr.
Furley, I was watching you through your bedroom window.
Yeah, but Don Knotts can do no wrong. He's a literal angel.
And the whole, like, you know, in John's character pretending to be gay. And
I know.
Oh!
Every time he came back, I remember it was the limp wrist back in the 70s.
He had to keep every time he would make reference to him being gay. Party's character would freak out and get all flustered.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this: on Three's Company, there was that was I think her name was Rhonda, and she was a neighbor, and she was always after Jack. She was lusting after him. She was always trying. Do you remember this character?
I do. Yeah.
She was in probably half a dozen.
But then
episodes.
He couldn't because
no. He just didn't want to.
Oh.
And I was like,
forward
dude,
for
I
him.
Would be all over that. Somebody.
And she was gorgeous, too.
She was a good
But the thing
girl.
Is it was the 70s, and women didn't do stuff like that back then.
You think that's
wasn't
what it
there
was.
A Rhonda in you the know. Happy days, too?
Oh,
she was
maybe.
Like one of the tough girls or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
She was like the... Yeah, yeah. She
Rhonda,
was,
I knew a Rhonda
she, Dupree. She was like the big girl who was always hanging out with Fonzie, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember.
Man. Todd, what would a number two look like for you?
You know, it's Married with Children.
Oh,
yeah,
geez,
I absolutely love that show because it's like, you know, the dad, he's not perfect. He's not, but he's also not terrible. You know what I mean? He's borderline terrible. Like if he had been a real guy, he would have been two or three steps above my dad. You know, he was not great. And he loved his kids, but he wasn't like showing his love for his kids and whatnot. But you know, I was like, if I could get a guy, my dad was closer to Al Bundy, then things would be better as far as my relationship with my father goes. So I liked it for that reason. Plus, he was funny.
Yeah, I think my dad was a lot like Al Bundy, but had a better job but wasn't as funny.
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't as humorous, but he was kind of that. You know, he could be a little bit gregarious once in a while, but he's kind of that, you know, arm's length, that
right.
that generation and stuff.
I still think my favorite line is like, "Al, I want to go someplace I've never been before." He's like, "Have you tried the kitchen peg?"
My favorite was they got Peg's mom's ashes, and somebody had dumped. Cleaned Al's barbecue and lost all of his flavor, all his ash in the bottom of the
right,
barbecue.
Right, I remember this
was
one.
Was his
yeah.
flavor, and he was pissed. So they ended up replacing it with Peg's mom's ashes, and everybody was like, ugh, and he's like, best burger ever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And I remember hearing a couple years back that David Faustino was trying to do, like, a revival of the show.
Yeah.
And it was, like, right before the end of that show that, the actor who played Al Bundy was in, the...
Modern Family?
Modern Family.
So which he, I think went, like, nine seasons or something.
It was on for
whatever,
yeah.
So, and it was like, you know, hey, when that show ends, you know, do you guys want to get together and do, like, a special or something? And it sounds like people were kind of interested, but at the same time, I'm good. I mean, if we have time, maybe, kind of thing. So, and then last I heard is that it was going to be an animated show.
Oh, well, where, that's easier, like, to get everybody together, so they don't have to be together.
Nice.
Yeah. They don't have to be in the same room together. Yeah. They can just record from different studios.
So that's something.
Yeah. That'd be fun. There was another episode, it was funny as hell, just the segment of it. For some reason, I don't remember why, but Marcy and Steve were not, like, Marcy wasn't putting out. So they weren't having sex, but at the same time, Al was having sex a lot with Peg. And I don't remember what the situation was for each of them, but Al at one point is talking to Steve and he's like, I can't keep having sex with my wife. And Steve's like, I can't keep having sex without my wife. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
That was the early Fox, right?
Yeah,
that was at the beginning of Fox Network. Yeah.
Oh my God.
But yeah, and then this, and then she divorces Steve at some point and gets the new guy.
There's Ted McGinney, who's the sitcom killer.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. He is the sitcom killer.
He's the shark sitcom killer.
So. I thought that was Cousin Oliver.
So whenever Ted McGinn or McGinney, whatever his name is, would join a show, it would die within two seasons.
He joined Happy Days, and that was right before it died. Yeah.
And there was like two or three other shows before he got to Married with Children, but I think he broke the curse with Married because he was on there for like four or five seasons.
Yeah, he did Cradle on that show. And I think he was
the aging playboy or whatever. Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, because he was in Revenge of the Nerds, right?
Yeah, he was the alpha jock. Yeah.
And I bet like Hot Dog or whatever, all those 80s movies. You need a dude with a sweater tied around his neck. He's the guy.
With that flowing blonde hair.
He always has a name like Chip or Biff.
Criminally so good looks and all that, yeah. Mike, let's finish this round up. What would a number one be?
Louise, number one sitcom. Oh boy. It's kind of softball, but, and I haven't seen it in years, but the first few seasons of Simpsons, I really enjoyed it.
The first handful of seasons were great.
Yeah.
That was back when it was Don't Have a Cow, Man. And
stuff like that.
Yeah, it was all about Bart, and now it's all about Homer. So, yeah.
Sure, but I also remember like one where Bart gets a big brother.
Big brother, mentor.
And so now Homer really is just like trying to overachieve, and he ends up like falling down a cliff and landing. It's insane. Just all this other stuff. It's great.
Oh my God.
So,
I haven't watched Simpsons in 30 years. It's been on for 36 years. Jesus.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first few, I feel like I saw the first couple of years.
I think it was new.
I haven't had a TV.
We watched it pretty regularly at my house, and even though these are the years where Bart was like a hellion and he was just driving Homer crazy every episode, my mom let me watch it because
Homer's like choking him.
Yeah. Why I am that? Yeah.
So, well, Todd, I hope I don't spoil this. My number one's going to be Night Court.
No, that's not my number one.
Night Court. You know, it's Night Court was a favorite of mine. I really loved that show. In the mid to late 80s, I worked at the Issaquah McDonald's, and I was working in drive through, and Harry Anderson came through.
Nice.
It was in March because he ordered a Shamrock Shake.
Nice.
And I'm like, why does this guy look familiar? Why does this guy look so familiar to me? And it didn't click because he had a full beard. And as he's driving away, it's Judge Harry!
That's great.
He didn't have his Mel Torme on.
Oh, yeah. Mel Torme. Would pop up.
And
yeah.
He popped up a few times on that.
At least once or twice. Yeah. I think there was an episode where he was dreaming and he had a conversation with Torme. And then,
yes.
And then later on, Torme came into his courthouse or something.
Yeah, yeah. Was that part of the same Thursday night lineup?
Yeah,
I just, Dan Fielding is just one of the best awful characters ever written.
Have you seen the revival of the
show? No, I haven't watched it yet.
You know what? It's really funny. It's really good. It's the only member of the original cast is Dan Fielding. And I don't know. It just started season two, and it's in the beginning of season two, we saw Ross. So,
yeah, nice.
So the surviving members of the cast have all made appearances on the show.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Marky Post was gorgeous. Even the gal before, and the old lady that played the bailiff before Ross.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. I just remember the episode with Dan, and this was hilarious. It was his birthday, and he had a date, and this chick was hot, right? Smoking 80s hot.
Right.
And
did a lot of cocaine, kind of hot.
I don't know. It's hot, right? But she had this like sexual window, like had to hit it before midnight to get the peak, right? And otherwise, the peak was gone. So it was Dan's birthday, and everybody's running around, and he's trying to get done with everything before midnight because he wants to, get with this chick and all that stuff. And stuff keeps distracting him. I don't remember what it was, but midnight hits, and she's like, I'm out of here. The moment's gone, kind of a thing. And he's pissed, but the rest of the group gets him this naked lady cake, right? It's all like whipped cream and stuff. And they're like, where'd Dan go? And he comes walking out of the back room, and his face is just covered with whipped cream because he was just doing it with his naked lady cake. It's just, I mean, that was the epitome of Fielding's character right there in that episode.
So in the revival series, he is the public defender.
No, really? Yeah. He's reversed.
He's switched sides,
Man.
And it's, in the first few episodes, it's Harry's daughter who's the new judge. And she's trying to get Dan to come back to night court. And she wants him to be the public defender. And he's like, fuck that. He doesn't say it, but he's, fuck that. And so he eventually kind of relents and says, all right, fine, I'll do this one time. And then, of course, the one time became a more regular thing. So it's really a good show still. And
they have all the original series, too. Is it all Peacock, though?
It's on Peacock, yeah.
Okay.
And the last two episodes, Brent Spiner, who played the hillbilly guy, and the girl who played his wife, they both come back.
That's cool.
Nice.
And then Kate Micucci plays their daughter.
Okay.
You know who that is?
That is.
Garfield and Oates, the little brunette girl in Garfield and Oates.
I don't know what Garfield and Oates
is. It's a comedy group when they do music. And she's been the most... She's the most recent actress to play the part of Velma on...
It's Garfunkel and Oates.
Garfunkel and Oates.
Yeah, it's Art Garfunkel's daughter and John Oates' daughter.
No. They're not related at all. No.
Really?
Garfunkel or...
It's a comedy duo, these two girls.
They just use those names
because they sound funny, I guess. I don't know.
Geez, well,
they're not related
way
at
better.
All. Yeah, yeah.
Art fucking Garfunkel.
Todd, finish us off.
My number one is Different Strokes.
Oh, my gosh.
Gary Coleman. The kid who moved into a penthouse in, was it New York or whatever? But loved that
Park
show.
Avenue. Should I? Can I? Should I?
What?
Well, the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some. The world is
something.
Man
something.
Is born. He's a
you, you know, know who you know,
shit,
who,
I
you have know who wrote and sang that song?
Uh-uh.
Alan Thicke.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Nice.
And then
did he do the theme to Growing Pains too?
He did.
Okay.
And his wife did the theme song for the Facts of Life. That was
you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life.
Honestly, the only reason why I know that is because I've been watching The Masked Singer, and Robin Thicke is one of the judges on there. They did an episode about TV theme song.
Oh, yeah. So
So all the singers did a song from a a theme song.
Right.
And he started the show with doing one of his dad's songs.
Yeah, how long ago was that episode on?
Last week, I think.
Oh, I might have to check that. It might be fun to.
Yeah, that's like, I actually really like that show. I mean, I'm one of those people that voice sounds really familiar. The thing is they mask the voice when they're talking, but they don't mask the voice when they're singing.
Right.
And there's been a couple times like I know exactly who the fuck that is, and I've only been right about that one time, and that was the first season, and the first contestant they had. And I was like, I know exactly who this is. It was Donny Osmond. And season, I'm like, all these clues, and they're guessing all these other like teen heartthrob singers from the 80s and stuff.
Leif Erikson.
Yeah, they did say that. I don't think anybody got it. I don't think anyone knew it was Donny Osmond. But it was like, I recognized his voice immediately because me and my sister loved the Donny Marie show when we were growing up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Had a big crush on Marie.
Well, yeah. Sure. The Masked Singer is a great show. There's been a few episodes where like, oh, I got to skip this. This is god-awful. And every time there's been a god-awful singer, that person usually gets voted off immediately.
Nice. It's
terrible.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah, I might have to watch that again. I think I saw a few of the... Maybe we even watched the first season. I don't remember.
Yeah. No, there's been a couple seasons that weren't... I didn't know any of the people who were under the costumes. Like, oh, yeah. I don't know who that is. They must be...
That was what it was. I think it was all like D-list or this is so-and-so's nephew or something, you know.
They were like reality people.
Yeah.
And that was like, I think that was like season two.
Yeah.
Or sports people or country singers or whatever.
The judges or the Alan Thicke or the Robin Thicke folks that are up on the Jenny McCarthy, all them. They're all like, oh, that's, some famous singer. Oh, that's Lady Gaga up there. Yeah, it's like, fucking Lady Gaga's not on your show.
Well, the thing is, the most recent episode, none of them got it. Nobody knew who it was. And he goes, so why did you want to be on the show? He's like, you guys have guessed my name for the last four seasons.
Oh, really? Who was it?
It was Cisco.
Oh, man.
And
yeah, because he hasn't been around for a while. He did the thong song or whatever. And then he had the colorful hair.
He had the silver hair.
Not Cisco, the gardening guy.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he was.
He's happy little tree.
Yeah, no, it's... And the last one that was just terrible was... It ended up being... oh, god damn it. Of course, my brain decides to do that. He was in both of the newest Jumanji movies. Short black dude.
Kevin Hart,
yeah. And he came out, he's singing, and he was like, this guy is not a singer. If he's famous, but he's not a singer. And he didn't get into, like, the competition. He at some point, he just pulls the hat off. He goes, ha!
Nice. Oh, is that a Nick Cannon thing?
Yeah.
That kid's everywhere.
Yeah, Nick Cannon's the host, and then it's Robin Thicke, Jenny McCarthy, God, I hate her, Ken Jeong, and then it was up until this season, Nicole Wellsinger?
One of the Pussycat Dolls?
Yeah.
She's
on Broadway doing something now, so they got a new person in to replace her. I have no idea who she is.
All right.
But, yeah. No, it's a great show. Like I said, I watch it on a DVR, so if it's a song I don't care about, I zip past the song and get to the guessing section of it. Or if I really don't care, I just skip to the end of the episode and find out who gets voted off. So
nice.
That's what I do anyway.
Well, speaking of TV shows, sharing is caring, boys. Any new TV shows, movies, restaurants, books?
And before we get on this, for those of you who've been watching this episode and last week's episode, these are our top fives. These are what you get when you get the bonus material.
Oh, that's true.
So if you want to see more of these top fives, you liked them, you thought they were cool, subscribe to our Patreon.
Do it. Or the members only section
on the website.
Easy to find. Come on, everybody.
Yeah.
get over there and
it won't hurt. You won't even get a callus.
And while you're at it, pick up a couple of our imaginary t-shirts on the website as well.
I like the one that has me and Darth Vader.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like Mike and his cats. That's a good one.
Oh, my cats.
Oh, my God. I'll kick us off. I'm reading a book right now, Nathan Monk. It's called All Saints Hotel and Bar, I think is what it's called. It's a very Gen... What's the one right after us? Gen X and then...
Gen Z.
Very Gen Z, maybe late Gen X kind of a feel to it. It's about a group of friends in a coastal town, I think in the Panhandle, that are just sort of fed up. They're 20-something with no real direction. They've got student debt, but they can't get like real jobs and stuff. Five of them, three guys, two girls, all different personalities. The guy writes pretty well, but every chapter starts out with kind of a rant, which is kind of interesting. It's probably a page, maybe five or six paragraphs of kind of a rant on any kind of given subject. So, anyway, Nathan.
Just a few more minutes, I think.
Because we're going to be going up the hill.
Okay, well, if nothing else, I'll give you a call when we're done.
I know, it's just the thing of once I'm home, we don't want to come back.
I know. You just hang out down there a little bit longer.
They're closing.
Oh, are they?
Oh, okay. Man, we'll wrap it up.
We just finished our beers.
Okay, nice. Well, we're almost done. Sorry, folks. That was my ride.
I mean, the rudest Uber driver I've ever seen.
Get out here now.
Yeah.
Are you not done yet?
What about you guys? Any other shows?
I just started watching this show on hold on. I'm trying to pull it up here. Renegade.
Renegade starring Lorenzo Lamas.
Renegade Nell. It's on Disney Plus.
Oh, sure, you were talking about.
And I was trying to pull up a description of the show. It's a quick-witted and courageous young woman framed for murder, unexpectedly becomes the most notorious outlaw in 18th century England. Huh. And it I'm not quite sure. Maybe I need to go back and rewatch it's in the last episode. But she gets like this little fairy like thing. It's like a maybe a leprechaun
one of the
or something.
Good people, yeah. Well, geez,
a little wee folk. But anyways, he like whenever she's in trouble, he enters inside, like climbs in through her ear, her nose, or whatever, just flies in her mouth, and she becomes like superhuman strong, and you know is able to do all these, you know, acrobatic like fight sequences and whatnot.
Is this a young adult kind of be a young adult?
I mean, it's not overtly violent. It's a lot of fighting and stuff. There's no
it's
blood.
It's a Disney thing. Yeah.
Oh, it's Disney. Yeah.
It's on Disney Plus, so there's no blood and guts. I mean,
it's woke. She got the jab.
There is blood, but it's not like excessive blood. I mean, you show someone getting shot in the head and they fall over dead and there's blood, a pool of blood, but it's not like
it's no worse than Damsel.
It's about the same as Damsel. It's no worse than that. And but it has when I started watching it. During the opening of like one of the fight sequences, there was like kind of this music playing in the background. I was like, oh, this is kind of giving me Xena vibes. This kind of reminds me of Xena Warrior Princess. It's like,
oh! Is there Gabrielle?
Yeah.
Where did she end? Oh, never mind. We got to go. Yeah. Chop.
Yeah, my ride is here. We need to go.
All right, well, let me just leave on this. This is an actual Dwight Eisenhower quote, which I found fascinating, and it's been circulating a little bit, but it's, don't join the book burners. Don't think you're going to conceal faults by concealing evidence that they never existed. Oh, wait, sorry. Don't think that you can conceal faults by concealing evidence that they never existed. Don't be afraid to go in your library and read every book as long as that document does not offend our own ideas of decency. That should be the only censorship.
Sure.
So, yeah. I mean...
Book burners are bad.
Book burners are bad.
Yeah.
Book burners are bad.
You can't be pro-freedom and pro... book burning.
Yeah.
Those two do not, they don't walk hand in hand.
Exactly.
So, and we are not a theocracy. So no, remember that democracy remember that, is better kids. Than theocracy. Better. Better up here. Thank you.
Well, thanks for joining us. We'll come back with a regular show next week as you're watching this. We'll see.
And next week we'll hear all about his trip to Ireland and how drunk he got when he went to...
It's
going
to be great. Come back. Yeah. I might stay for...
Well, we'll just do a Zoom.
A Zoom thing. Yeah.
We can do that. Kevin, do that, yeah.
All right, everybody.
Okay. Cheers.
Bye.
Take care.
Please like, subscribe, comment, and share. And if you think this episode is worth $1 or $5, the boys would love to have it. Please go to ourtownpod.store for merch or to donate now. For less than a cup of coffee, you can also join the website in the member-only area for exclusive bonus content, vlogs, and more. It's just $3 a month or $30 a year. Thank you for listening to this production of Our Town Podcast Extraordinaire.